Earth, but I doubt they're going to be thrilled about it. They stop when they get close to us, one of them scenting the air. God, they're a hideous pair. Their limbs gangly, their eyes beady, and their lips tight and bloodless. One of them scents the air. Our old king, a human, and something halfway interesting. One of them announces, its eyes landing on me. Around us, I feel that thick, cloying magic stir up. Dez's father steps up from behind me. As rightful heir, hold your britches, buddy, I say. You're not to talk to these two nice Reeves. The nice Reeves that look like they wouldn't mind eating us all alive. The king of the night is at the bottom of that pit, I say to them, nodding to the hole. Strange, inhuman noises are coming from it. Things live in that place, things that don't necessarily belong to this world or the next. I'm going to have to face them. All the dead end up somewhere at the bottom of the pit, one of the Reeves says from his twisted mouth. You misunderstand me, I say slowly. I'm telling you, your king is down there not because he's dead, but because I'm going into that hole and getting him back. You can't, one of the Reeves says. It's forbidden. The other Reeves' nostrils flare. I get the impression he's scenting the air again. I am, I insist, and neither you nor anyone else will stop me, I command, my voice harmonizing with itself, my glamour thick in the air. You can't possibly navigate your way down, the other Reeve says, even as he steps out of my way. You better hope I can, I reply, or else I'm dragging you down there with me. In the darkness, some creature hisses, and the noises from the pit have ratcheted up with excitement. Fresh blood, I seem to hear one of the voices say. Yes, my siren purrs. There's plenty of fresh blood for us to spill. Is that a threat? The Reeve asks. Damn straight it is, Temper says. Have you not been listening? The sorceress's power is beginning to crackle. We're wasting time squabbling. With every moment that passes, Dez is slipping farther from me. I unleash the full force of my power, my flesh throbbing with the pulse of my magic. I'm going into the pit, and I'm coming out with your king. No one is to stop me, and no one is to do me or my human friend here any harm. The white-haired fairy you can fuck with, Temper adds darkly, earning her a glare from Galagar. In response to my commands, the Reeves fall back, their eyes glittering with malice. I glance at Temper. This is where I leave you. What do you mean, leave you? She asks accusingly. You will not follow me into the pit, I command. Did she really think I'd let her enter the land of the dead? Don't you dare leave me out here! Temper's magic begins to spark down her skin, a sure sign that she's getting pissed. That is not how this works! How this works is I'm not going to let my friend get killed. I love you, Temper, but this is my battle. She wasn't going to be dying today. If I'm not back in a day, then you can come looking for me. God, please don't make me eat my words. I'm not waiting a day, she protests. I grip her arms. I have to do this, Temper. I'm practically begging with her. She stares at me for a beat, then pulls me into her arms and hugs me tight. You keep yourself safe. The least you can do is promise me that. I squeeze her, holding her close. I promise. It's a lie, but one we both need to hear. You kill that motherfucker, she adds. I nod into her shoulder. I will. Or at least I'll try. Not sure yet how I'm going to kill an undead thing. Releasing her, I back up. Temper doesn't try to stop me, though the broken expression on her face nearly makes me falter. Beyond her, I catch sight of a retreating figure. Dez's father trying to get away, that snake. Galagar, stop! I command. He pauses mid-stride. Come back to me. Robotically, he returns, his steps halting as he fights my glamour. They never figure out it's useless. I tilt my head when he stops in front of me. Did you really think I'd let you leave? He snarls something incoherent. That's cute, I comment. My heart pangs when I realize it's something Dez would have said. When I told you you'd be my guide, I meant you were leading me all the way down. He glares at me but obediently steps up to the edge of the pit. I follow after him, aware of the curious gazes of dozens of different Fae, all of them watching what we'll do next. Dez's father stares down into the inky blackness. Go ahead, I say. Lead the way to the thief's kingdom. You're going to die for this, he vows. Before I can respond, Galagar's wings manifest. I feel something lodge in my throat at the sight of them. They're dark and talon-tipped, so similar to Dez's. Galagar steps off the ledge then, diving into the darkness. I spare a final glance at Temper, whose skin is continuing to spark, her power barely under control. She looks devastated at being left behind. I lift a hand to her, and then I step off the ledge. My wings unfurl behind me, spreading out to control my fall as I spiral downwards. I made a mistake, thinking Galagar could lead the way. The darkness here seems to swallow everything up, including him. I'm the only thing illuminating this trench in the earth, and the glow from my skin is shedding light on the frightening fae that live here. Hairless, naked creatures cling to the walls, their forms emaciated, the wings at their backs shriveled with disuse. One of them snarls at me as I pass, another sniffs the air, its mouth gaping open. Truly, these fae are the things of nightmares. Winged, pixie-like creatures with snapping teeth zip through the air, battering into me like bugs against a windshield, their forms drawn in by my light and my glamour. You are to let me pass unharmed, I command. I have to repeat the order over and over again as I descend so that Fae who were once out of earshot can hear my words and obey. Down and down I descend, and there's seemingly no end in sight. By all logic, the bottom of this pit should either bring me to the heart of the floating island, or it should cut straight through the island and empty out into the night sky below. Instead, this trench is supposedly going to spit us out in the thief's kingdom. I'll believe it when I see it. The temperature dips, getting increasingly cold. The fae that live this far down are strange, sightless things, their bodies pale and fleshy, their eyes clouded over from disuse. Eventually, the air grows still, and I stop seeing Fae at all. Every now and then I hear a yowl or a piercing cry, but then those too die off. This feels like death. Silent like the grave, the air stagnant. Even the dust motes caught in my light seem frozen in place, glittering in the air. All at once, the ground rises up beneath me. I land hard on a pile of bones, the brittle remains crumbling beneath my weight. A plume of dust kicks up, unfurling slowly in the molasses-like air. I dust myself off, taking in my surroundings. I can't see much besides bones and bones and bones. There are skulls and femurs and ribs and so many other bits of anatomy that I can't identify. The longer I look, the more I begin noticing the tarnished armor amongst the bones. A crescent moon is stamped onto a metal shield. Another helmet bears the same mark. Night soldiers. Shit. There you are. My head snaps up as Galagar steps out from the darkness. He's bloody in his clothes and tatters. All across his skin are bite marks and in some areas missing flesh. It's healing over, but each wound is a grim reminder of what might have happened to me if I didn't have my glamour to fend off all the fae living in the pit. I glance back down at the bones. Why are there night soldiers down here? I ask. Galagar kicks a bone uselessly aside. Long ago, I invaded the kingdom of death and deep earth. Horror dawns on me. All of these bones, They belonged to fairies Galagar had brought down here to die. Illuminate this place, I command him. Galagar stares at me for several seconds, then extending his hand, a ball of light forms. As I watch, it grows bigger and brighter before lifting off of the fallen king's palm and floating into the air above us. Now I get a good look at our surroundings. As far as the eye can see, the ground is an ocean of bones. There must be thousands of bodies. Why? I ask, my eyes searching the remains. The thief needed a realm to rule. I glance sharply at Galagar. What do you mean the thief needed a realm to rule? Dez's father gives me a cryptic smile. He was an invader. My eyes sweep over the graveyard. And you helped him. Galagar brought an army here to take over a kingdom. He allowed these soldiers to die, all so that he could insert the thief onto a stolen throne. Jesus. Someone else used to rule this place. Someone presumably who now is under the rule of the thief. I shiver to think what the afterlife must be like for them. I did. Galagar moves away from me, the bones of his former soldiers crunching under his feet. He pays them no attention. And why should he? In his mind, fairies are only as good as their use. This way, he says over his shoulder, unless you've changed your mind. We stride on, wading through the frightening graveyard. Among the dead soldiers are skeletons of monsters who lived and died in this place. I'm not sure I've ever seen something like this, or that I ever will again. Galagar's earlier light bobs along above us, illuminating a massive stone archway ahead. On our side of it lay the bones of the dead. On the other side, thick, curling smoke obscures our view. The fallen king passes under that archway without a backward glance, the smoke stirring as it swallows him up. I hesitate. I have no game plan, no grand knowledge that could be the thief of souls' undoing. All I have is determination and a few weapons. I hope that's good enough. Taking a deep breath, I pass under the archway and officially enter the kingdom of death and deep earth. Chapter 41. I wasn't expecting gardens. Gardens filled with plants that probably have names like Bloodroot and Devil's Bane, but gardens nonetheless. They extend to either side of me, bordering the stone pathway I stand on. Galagar is 20 feet ahead of me, walking up the pathway, and he doesn't even bother looking back. Far ahead of us, a palace made from pale stone reaches up towards the night sky, its towers and spires looking like the bones of a monster. The castle sits perched at the edge of an ocean. The afterlife has an ocean. My siren stirs at that. The air is still icy and motionless, but this place, it looks like any other place in the other world, with its manicured gardens and the night sky overhead. This is not at all how I'd imagine the afterlife. I follow Galagar up the stone path to the palace. The entire time, we don't see another soul. The thief is somewhere in this place. I can feel his dark magic pressing in on all sides, and I sense unseen eyes on me. But if he's near, he's not making himself known. Galagar steps up to two enormous doors. I stop alongside him. What now? I ask. In response, the massive double doors begin to groan open. Galagar gives me a chilling smile. After you, he says, gesturing forward. And have him at my back? I don't think so. You lead the way, I command. The fallen king gives me a long look, then steps into the castle with me following at his back. Inside, our footsteps echo. There's an entryway and side tables, tapestries, and strange plants growing up the castle's walls. Basically, the Kingdom of the Dead's castle looks like every other Fae palace I've been to, which makes the whole experience frighteningly real. I've never been more certain of my own mortality than this moment, stepping inside the palace of the King of Death and Deep Earth. It feels like I've moved too far from the land of the living. But then my heart throbs, my bond with Dez giving a soft tug, and I nearly fall to my knees. Letting out a soft gasp, I press my hand to my chest. I feel him. It's weak, but I feel him. My bargainer. The world stopped turning the moment he disappeared. Now I can imagine it moving once more. Desperation like I've never known takes over. Turning inward, I try to use the pull of our bond to track where my mate is. I've done this once before and it didn't work, but now I move with my instincts, leaving Galagar's side and wandering through the castle, unaware of the rooms I'm moving through, focusing on that magical tether that's reawakened now that I'm in the land of death and deep earth. Wonder of wonders, I can feel my connection to Dez subtly strengthening. I'm doing it. I'm actually tracking my mate through our bond. The thought nearly takes my breath away. My footsteps echo around me. Getting closer, I can feel it. The next room I enter is covered from floor to ceiling with shelves upon shelves, each one crammed with jars and potions, books with gilded titles and instruments whose use I couldn't possibly guess. Right in the middle of the room is an intricately carved marble slab, and lying on the slab is Dez! His name, unbidden, spills out from my lips. Now I run. He's so still. Too still. He can't be dead. Not here in the land of the dead. This is where Fae get to spend their afterlife. I stop when I get to that stone slab. My connection pulses once, as if to confirm that this isn't some illusion. I reach out, my hand trembling. I'm almost afraid to touch him. Something thick lodges in my throat. I thought I'd be elated finding Dez. Instead, I feel like I'm losing him all over again. His long eyelashes kiss the top of his cheeks, and his white hair is fanned around him. He looks like all those bespelled people in the fairy tales, sleeping some eternal sleep. He's beautiful and heartbreaking to look at. Dez, I repeat, my voice pleading. With a shaky hand, I touch his cheek. His skin is clammy and cold. Wake up! He doesn't move. My fingers trail down his face, over his chin and past his neck, stopping at his heart. I press my palm to it. Beneath my touch, his heart beats sluggishly. He's alive! Whatever that means at this point. I feel weak with relief for several seconds until I remember that the sleeping soldiers were technically alive too, suspended in a state much like this. A bit of me dies at the thought. My Night King reduced to this. Behind me, a man clucks his tongue. You don't belong here. My skin pricks at the familiar voice. I turn, and it's only now that I notice the flickering torchlights and candelabras beating back an unnatural darkness. The Thief of Souls stands amongst it all, and he's exactly as he's appeared in my dreams. Inky hair and upturned empty eyes, pale skin and a mouth that's far too soft for the rest of his face. Finally, the two of us meet in the flesh. He begins to clap. Well done, Enchantress. You figured out how to find me. And here I thought you were utterly useless at solving problems. I should have known you'd simply need the right. His eyes slide to Dez. Incentive. My skin is still glowing, but now I unleash the full force of my glamour. Wake my mate up, I demand. The thief's eyes shine with interest. He walks over to Dez, staring down at the Night King for a moment. Lifting a hand, the thief holds it over the bargainer's face. I sense dark magic gathering in his palm, but then he closes his hand and withdraws it.
I don't think I want to do that,
the thief says. How could he defy us?
Don't look so surprised, he says. You didn't really think that was going to work on me, now did you?
The thief's eyes still spark, but he doesn't have the look of a glamored fairy. He saunters over to me and I watch him with angry eyes. The thief stops right in front of me.
Tell me, how do you plan on slaying me and reclaiming your mate?
With a finger, he lifts one of my holsters.
Surely not with these weapons. Were you hoping to use them against me?
The thief's mouth curves up. He pulls the blade out and tosses it aside.
I'm sorry to tell you that you can't kill me with any of the little toys you brought.
And there goes what plans I did have. Slowly, the thief circles me, reaching out as he does so to remove various weapons. All the while, he looks bored and unimpressed. The situation is unraveling. I came here to save my mate, and instead the thief has proven that nothing at my disposal can harm him. I back away from him, and he lets me, even though he hasn't finished disarming me. I still have a dagger strapped to my thigh and another holstered around my calf. To leave me with some weapons, they must truly be useless against him. My attention returns to Dez. The Night King is still as death itself. I could pretend like my heart isn't lying right here on this slab, but then the thief already knows what he has. I rest my hands on my soulmate's arm. There's a frightening chill to his skin. Why did you do this to him? The thief steps up to my side.
If you knew anything about leverage, you'd know the answer to that.
I turn to the thief, a retort on my lips. But in an instant, he disappears, vanishing just as Dez and Galagar have. I feel his dark, cruel magic all around me. It's wild in a way that not even fey magic is. It swarms in the air, then slips down towards the Night King until it's no longer in the air, but in my mate. Beneath my fingers, Dez's arm twitches. I start at the sensation. Then my grip tightens. Dez? His eyes flutter and his lips move like he's murmuring something. But if anything, our connection seems to grow fainter. Dear God, what's happening? The wild, malevolent magic lifts from Dez and he's still once more. I rub my chest as our bond re-strengthens.
Ah, well, it was worth a try.
I jolt as the thief crowds in behind me.
And here I'd hoped I'd have a few more days, he says. Then perhaps my form...
He smooths his shirt down.
Would be a bit more to your liking.
I rotate to face him.
What are you talking about?
Even as I ask, realization dawns. The thief was trying to invade my mate's body. A bolt of sheer terror courses through me. Is that what he intends to do? To wear Dez's form just like he did the Green Man's? To terrorize me with the face of my mate while he inhabits the Night King's body? Bile rises up my throat as I stare at his dark features. Don't. I want to warn him. There are lines that are crossed, and then there are lines that are crossed. Parading around as my soulmate falls into the second category. But of course I don't say that because I have a deep-seated belief that the more I give away my fears, the likelier the thief is to exploit them. Is that your real face? I say instead.
Who says I truly have a face?
He retorts. A chill runs down my spine.
This, Enchantress, is the form I choose to take. For now.
The thief says. The sound of footsteps interrupt our conversation. Galagar enters the room looking vaguely peeved, or maybe that's his normal expression. It's probably his normal expression. First, Galagar sees his son lying on the stone altar, then he notices the thief standing too close to me. His eyes narrow on his partner.
How could you have left me to this human?
He accuses the fairy at my side. The thief of souls steps away from me, appraising Galagar. There's nothing behind the thief's eyes. No camaraderie, no softness. Nothing at all to indicate that these two have any sort of closeness.
What precisely was I supposed to do? The thief asks. The Night Queen has tamed my soldiers. She is not a queen, Galagar says vehemently. She is, the thief insists. Galagar gives me a look that plainly says he still disagrees.
You were supposed to kill her, Dez's father says. What the fuck happened to that plan?
I can still remember the attack in Barbos. The thief wouldn't let me die there. Apparently, I'm not the only one surprised by that. Something in the air shifts and the thief's magic churns. It feels violent.
I did kill her, back in Mara's forest. The thief responds smoothly.
And yet here she stands, Galagar says. You had a perfectly good opportunity on Barbos, but you wouldn't commit. Worse, you wouldn't let me finish what you couldn't.
The two stare at each other for several seconds, and I'm oddly calm about the whole thing, considering they're discussing killing me.
You made a mistake coming here, the thief says.
No,
Galagar's voice rises.
You made a goddamned mistake mooning over this mortal. You let your dick make decisions when we had a plan.
The room practically crackles with power. I swear something is poised to happen.
Kill her,
Galagar says, striding towards us, or let me do it. The thief gives him an indolent look.
Kill her,
Dez's father repeats, insistent. Magic floods the air, and still the thief makes no move. It's answer enough. Galagar's upper lip curls.
You swore an oath. Uphold your end and kill. No. Crack.
Magic splits the air and Galagar is blown back. His body slams into a wall of shelves, books, and bones and jars all raining down from behind him. He crumples to the ground, moaning. The thief's form ripples like it's a mirage, the magic so intense it bends the light. A darkness is gathering around the thief, dimming the room. I don't know if this is the thief's borrowed power from Galagar or his own, but it's uncannily like Dez's. Dez's father looks shocked as he lays there.
Oathbreaker, he whispers.
I don't know why you're so surprised, the thief says. I mean, you said it yourself. I didn't kill her on Barbos when I could have.
Galagar's voice begins to rise.
We had a deal! You thought an oath would bind me?
The thief walks forward, casually surveying Galagar.
After all you learned of my nature, you thought that would be sufficient?
I freed you,
Dez's father says. The thief flicks his wrist and a bolt of magic slices open Galagar's chest, cutting him down to the bone. I jerk at the sudden violence, even as Dez's father lets out a shocked cry. He turns to me.
Release me,
Galagar begs. Release you? I echo. From what?
Your glamour still binds me,
he explains.
Release me from it.
The thief laughs.
You think being able to disappear will save you? I could follow you to the darkest corners of the universe. No place is safe from me.
He punctuates his words with blow after magical blow. Galagar's body jolts at each one, the hits ripping open his flesh. The former king cries out, either in pain or anger. He tries to get up.
Please,
he implores me again. The thief laughs.
You're begging the slave now? How the tides have turned, my friend. And here I thought you wanted her dead.
The thief of souls flicks his wrist back and forth, cutting Galagar apart inch by inch, a small smile on his face.
Do you regret the price you've paid for power?
He asks. But Galagar is beyond words, his face a mass of wounds. Whatever regenerative powers he has, he either can't or won't use them. At some point, I turn away. I'm as bloodthirsty as the next creature, but there's vengeance and then there's sadism. This is the latter. I return to the stone slab, to Dez, ignoring the choked sounds behind me. Softly, I stroke his cheek. How am I going to get us out of here? Bargainer, I whisper. I'd like to make a deal. Nothing happens.
I hadn't expected that anything would, but it's a letdown all the same. My other hand drifts to Dez's upper arm, his three bronze warbands cool against my skin. His matching circlet sits perched on his brow. If ever he looked like a king, it would be now, laying here like the solemn dead. Galagar has stopped making noise, and the wet sound of skin ripping is gone. In the silence, the thief's footfalls echo like tolling bells. He comes to my side and unceremoniously takes my hand, pulling me away from Dez.
"Come," the thief says. "I have much to show you."
I resist. "Wake him up."
"Okay."
I spin around to face him, shocked by his response. The thief steps in way too close, forcing me to lean back against the altar. His arms move to either side of the slab and cage me in.
"Tell me," he says, "what would you do to wake your mate?"
"Anything." I don't respond. I don't need to. The thief knows. He leans in close.
"Now, Enchantress, you and your mate had a little game you used to play. Truth or dare? Why don't we have a go at it?"
My upper lip is curling.
"This is our little game, and trust me, Enchantress, it's far from over." "So, truth or dare?"
he asks, his strange, empty eyes glittering. "Neither."
"I'm afraid that's not an option," he says. "Why don't we start with a simple dare? Touch me."
"No." The thief pauses and then he smiles. It's only then that I realize he wants my disobedience more than anything else. He glances at Dez. I follow his gaze, unease coiling low in my stomach. Suddenly, the Night King's back arches and he begins to shout. My knees nearly buckle at the sound. So much pain. I can feel echoes of it through our bond. "Stop," I whisper. The thief ignores me, and Dez continues to shout, his eyes sightless. The sound closes up my throat. "Stop!" Still no reaction. I swallow down my disgust and my anger. I imagine for a moment that I am Dez, that I am dark and untouchable, and nothing can ever hurt me. I gaze up at the thief. In all my life, I've never hungered for someone's death so badly. But instead of delivering death, I lift a hand and cradle the side of the thief's face. And still Dez's cries carry on. The thief's eyes slide to mine.
"More,"
he commands. I can see the thrill in his eyes. There are so many ways to control a person, but blackmail is perhaps the worst of them all. Taking a deep breath, I close my eyes and force myself to drown out my mate's horrifying shouts. I guide the thief's face to mine. Very softly, I brush my lips against his. I can taste the barest hint of the thief's dark magic. It reminds me of all those other kisses he forced on me. We're simply picking up where we left off. When Dez's shouts finally quiet, I drop my hand and end the kiss. The thief smiles at me.
"I think I'm going to like this game very, very much."
Going to gut him for this.
"Oh, don't look at me like that, Callie. You'll learn to love it. Or live with it. Because you will live. After all, that was part of your mate's bargain."
"What? Dez made a bargain with you?" My heart stutters. I glance over at my mate, his face placid.
"You and I had an understanding,"
he'd said to the thief.
"Desmond, Desmond, Desmond, ever the secret keeper," the thief says. "Did he not tell you just what lengths he went to try to save you?"
I continue gazing at my mate's sleeping form. The flickering light makes the shadows dance along his skin. Perhaps it's just my imagination, but it looks as though the darkness is grieving for him. "Dez, what did you do?" It shakes me to the core to think that whatever Dez plotted and planned, it landed him here, in this state. I've never known someone to get the upper hand on the bargainer. Not like this.
The thief steps away from me, circling around the altar. It makes me jumpy seeing him focus on Dez when my soulmate is so exposed.
I had heard so many things about the King of the Night's infamous bargains. How shrewd he was, how calculating and unforgiving. Love seems to be his downfall. See, he came to me not too long ago. Did he tell you this? He came to me and he made a deal. So long as I never killed him or his precious mate, he'd willingly become my prisoner.
The room seems to tilt a little, and I have to place a bracing hand on the altar. My eyes move back to Dez. This is not life. This is some mockery of it. But Dez must have been aware of this going in. He saw the sleeping soldiers. He knew that the thief could keep a man alive without them ever truly living. So why would he make such a deal? The thief stares down at the Night King.
What your mate missed is this. The truest pain comes with life, not death.
Dez would never miss something like that. The question is, what am I missing?
You know, the thief continues, he's still in there. His mind, everything. Perhaps I will wake him up.
I can see the gears in the thief's head turning. I manage a delicate swallow. I want to see Dez's eyes open more than anything in the world I do, but I don't want the thief to compel them open, and I don't want Dez seeing whatever it is the thief intends. The thief breaks our stare down first.
Perhaps we'll revisit that exciting thought later.
He takes my hand again. I'm not leaving him. I insist. I can't. The thought of walking away from Dez now that I've finally found him is unbearable.
You are,
the thief insists, a bit of his good humor seeping away. I bare my teeth at him. Make me. I'm still glowing, still feral with my power. He laughs, the sound skittering up my arms. The thief's grip tightens on mine, chaining me to him.
Do you realize I could immobilize you just as I have your mate? I have done it to 1,000 different fairies. Now that you've tasted lilac wine, you are no different from any of them.
He's right. He could incapacitate me so easily. His threat hangs over my head like a blade. I search his face. Is that what you're going to do? Are you going to force dark magic on me just as you have every other fairy? He doesn't need to speak for me to pull the answer from him. You're not. Oh God, he's going to do everything but that. For some perverse reason, the thief wants to watch me tailspin. His hand slides to my wrist where golden scales dust my skin. He squeezes my flesh to the point of pain.
Do you feel that?
He asks. For a moment, I assume he's talking about the pressure on my wrist. But then there's a stirring in my chest, and what is happening? My hand moves over my heart, then my back bows as a rush of magic floods my connection to Dez. For an instant, it feels like the bond we share is coming back to life. On the slab, Dez stirs. As quickly as the sensation comes, it passes, settling back down to the dying embers it's been. My soulmate goes still again.
That's what's at stake for you,
the thief says. I hate him. Christ, do I hate him. He holds Dez's life in the palm of his hand, and while he might not outright kill my mate, he'll dangle our bond in front of me. That's all he needs to do to get my compliance.
This is what's going to happen, the thief says. You're going to do everything I tell you. Otherwise, you lose Dez piece by piece.
To emphasize his point, dark magic thickens the air and Dez's back arches again. Like some sick dream, my mate begins to cry out again. Stop! Stop! I'm shouting and my glamour is everywhere and in everything, burning so brightly. It doesn't make any sort of difference.
Understood?
The thief says calmly, Dez bellowing between us as pain continues to rack his body. My wrath gathers in my veins. But those shouts, it's as though a part of me is dying. Understood, I say, my voice raw. Dez shudders, his body falling limp on the stone slab.
You're going to regret doing that, I say, blazing with barely contained rage.
No, Enchantress. It's you who will be regretful, should you defy me again.
Chapter 42. The thief leads me out of the room and through his castle, showing me this or that, all while wearing a triumphant smile on his lips. We both know he doesn't give a shit about anything in this stolen castle of his, save for the wretched souls he gets to torment. Right now, he's just savoring my pain. I'll stab out his eyes and cut out his tongue. Ever since the thief started leading us through the palace, my siren has been whispering all the ways he will pay for his crimes. We'll bring him to the point of pleasure, and then we'll destroy him as we have always destroyed our enemies. Eventually, the thief leads me out onto a balcony. From where we stand, I can see the vast ocean. Under the cover of night, it looks like spilled ink, stretching out as far as the eye can see. Next to me, I sense the thief about to speak. Why am I here? I ask, swiveling to him. Why not just kill me or incapacitate me like all the other fairies you've come across? That would have been easier. The thief pauses, assessing me.
Why?
He finally says.
Why? You creatures and your need to have orderly, logical answers.
When someone falls in love, is it logical? And when they blindly hate, is that logical either? Your deepest drives are based on nothing. What you're asking for is an explanation for the unexplainable.
I didn't expect that answer. The thief of souls went and got philosophical on me. He steps in close.
Stop trying to understand me. You will never fathom my motives. I am not like you or anyone else.
I study him. What do you intend to do with me? Now that sinister smile is back. A minute ago, I could almost pretend he was civilized. I can't now.
Whatever I please,
the thief says. We'd like to see him try. Yeah, I fucking get that, but what does that actually mean?
Is the anticipation killing you, Enchantress?
He touches a lock of my hair, his hand sliding down it.
It means that I'll have you in all the most obvious ways you fear. I'll fuck you, I'll eat out that enchanting little pussy, I'll make you go down on me. But that won't be the end of it. There are many things you will do to please me, and there are many things I will do to you to please myself. It will go on and on like this until you can no longer do them.
Until my spirit is utterly broken, he means.
The true question will be how long you survive my attentions. Your life is now measured in centuries, not decades. That mind of yours is more resilient than it was when you were human, and of course your bond will keep you sane and keep your priorities right where I need them to be. I have a feeling you will last a long while.
The horrible truth is that even though we're both aware the thief's using my bond against me, I'm still going to play right into his hand. Because seeing Dez in pain and feeling him slip away from me, it makes me panicked. You're going to find that I'm not that fun of a captive. I wasn't when I was his prisoner before. I won't be this time around either.
On the contrary, I think you'll be exceedingly pleasing.
I can't even fathom the future he intends for me. All those minutes, hours, days, years, centuries. All of it a sick, twisted horror show. Maybe this is hell. Maybe this is hell, and I'm getting my first taste of it. I glance out at the sea, frowning. It stretches into the night, and it's not clear what, if anything, lies beyond it. A pier juts out from the castle grounds. Tethered to it is a lone ship, its sails in tatters and its hull sunk deep in the water. It leans severely to one side, and the ship's rigging dangles limply, and there isn't a breeze to stir any of it. At once I'm struck by the true oddness of this place.
Why would the kingdom of death and deep earth have a palace right next to a strange ocean? Why would there be a ship? And why would that ship fall into disrepair? And speaking of hell and the afterlife, I glance around. Where are all of the dead? You'd think they'd be roaming these halls, either as specters or as full-blooded people, yet I haven't seen a soul other than Dez and Galagar, and the thief, of course. The thief stares at me, his mind a mystery.
I'll show them to you shortly.
With that cryptic response, he takes my hand and placidly leads me back inside his palace with its pale walls and the blood-red vines that look like gashes. We pass through several rooms, each one looking a bit like the last, and this one should be no different, except it is. When we enter, I see someone I don't recognize. The fairy is covered in iron shackles, his neck, his wrists, his ankles. Thick iron chains link the manacles together. I suck in a breath at the sight of his blistering skin. The fairy is not alone, either. The woman at his side has an ethereal glow to her. She's dead, I realize with shock. I hadn't thought the thief was going to show me the dead so soon after his cryptic response. If the dead look like that, Dez isn't dead. I hadn't thought he was, but then I hadn't been sure. This place bends reality. The shackled man ignores us entirely, leading the dead woman on. Who is he? I ask as we pass the two by.
Carrion, the ferryman.
The ferryman? You mean the guy that transports the dead? Back on Earth, we had human myths about that. I hadn't realized that at least in the other world, the afterlife really worked this way.
Just when I think your only redeeming quality is your face, you surprise me with your infinitesimal intellect.
The thief says. My gaze thins. Why is he shackled? I ask.
We don't see eye to eye.
Before I can ask any further questions, the thief drags me out of the room and onwards we go. Where are we going? I ask. I'm getting impatient. My siren is still whispering her dark deeds, and I'm not acting on any of them because I'm afraid that nothing will stop the thief. Nothing but patience and surprise.
I assumed you'd want to see where you were staying.
I'm not staying. I'm leaving here with Dez as soon as I see a good opportunity to do so, or else Temper is coming down here for all our asses. The two of us arrive at a gothic door, and I glance at the thief, an eyebrow raised. In response, he flashes me a sly smile. With an ominous creak, the door opens.
Welcome to our rooms.
Our. My blood chills as my eyes sweep over the space. Even though I'm brave and angry, I still quake at the sight in front of me. The bed with its crimson sheets has iron cuffs and chains affixed to the four posts. It's obvious they're meant for me. There's an iron maiden in the room, a human-sized cage hanging from the ceiling, and a breaking wheel. There are chains dangling from the walls and ceilings, and just about every surface has iron or leather braces affixed to it. It looks like a BDSM dungeon met the Inquisition and they had some fucked-up kids together. My hand edges for my thigh holster. Kill him now before he can chain us. The thief leaves my side and wanders over to the wheel.
Care to test this one out?
That's not my kink, I say. Watching you die is.
Have you ever tried it?
Obviously not. I don't dabble in light torture on the weekends. What do you think? I say tartly.
I think you won't know what you enjoy until you've tried it.
I didn't realize my enjoyment mattered to you. His hand leaves the wheel and he walks over to me, stepping in close.
You better hope it matters to me, Enchantress. Otherwise, the next 200 years of your life could be very, very bleak.
I'm tense, waiting for the thief to break this brief stretch of civility. It won't last with him. It never does. And where better to begin than in this fucked up room? But it never comes. His hand grabs mine, and he leads me out of the room and down the hallway.
If I thought this was the end of the palace tour, I thought wrong.
Do you know how the kings of the dead have made their way?
He asks casually, as we walk.
I have no idea what else he hopes to show me in this castle. The dungeons, maybe? Even an asshole like him only has so many terrible surprises to share.
We have to kidnap our brides, he says.
This is nothing unusual for a fairy. In case you hadn't noticed, we rather enjoy snatching away young men and maidens. It's all part of the thrill. But Death Kings, well, they've always done things a little different. When choosing brides and grooms, they would wear the skin of the dead and go topside. Invariably, there's always one fae festival or another moving through the other world. Those have always been a favorite hunting ground for the rulers of the dead.
My skin prickles as I think of Solstice, how the green man sought me out again and again.
Surprising, really, how many fairies love the mysterious stranger. Give them enough spirits and let them dance until they are drunk on magic and wine. It is so easy to whisper a few promises and lure a fairy away.
Understanding is dawning on me.
So the Death Kings would draw down their unwilling spouses to the land of death and deep earth. They would then baptize them in the pool of resurrection and bind their spouses to their side forever.
The thief's hand drifts to my shoulder, his fingers digging in.
And then those brides and grooms lived here, just as you will.
Yeah, that's not fucking happening. Of course, skinwalking is useful for more than just snatching spouses. One can lure just about any fairy away by wearing the face of the beloved dead.
The sleeping soldiers, that's what he's referring to.
So I took fairy after fairy, and I fucked them and breathed my magic into their bodies until one by one, they fell prey.
I already know the lurid truth about the sleeping soldiers, but hearing the thief of souls recount it all makes my stomach roil.
The men I hid away, but the women, I took their babies and their bodies and had them delivered back where they came from. They were my army, and I brought my darkness into the world above and watched it grow.
He rubs his lower lip with his thumb, then barks out a laugh.
To tell you the truth, it all became quite boring. Until, of course, it was time to handle the Night King. That is how I discovered his oh-so-charming mate. The shadows couldn't stop talking about you, the prettiest human they'd ever seen, the cherished soulmate of the Night King. They're real conversationalists, if you can get them to sing.
I stumble to a stop, the thief's hand slipping from my shoulder. You can talk to the shadows?
Dear God. The thief smiles slyly. You thought your mate was the only one? He isn't. The shadows whisper to me, too.
That's really, really not good. It also happens to explain how the thief knows so much. The shadows spy for him.
He grips my shoulder once more and forces me to begin walking again. Suits of armor, displayed swords, soaring architecture, all of it barely registers as I pass it by. They told me everything I need to know about you, the thief says. I've heard all about your fucked-up life, my pretty bird. I know your stepfather raped you over and over. I know you killed him, and that our gallant Desmond Flynn swooped in and saved you. Did you know he had Daddy Dearest resurrected?
He did?
Immediately I doubt the thief's words. Des would have told me something like that.
Of course,
the thief continues.
That was only so he could torture and kill the man all over again. I do appreciate a good killing. Too bad Desmond had to then go and try his hand at honor, all so that he'd keep himself from fucking you prematurely.
I distractedly notice that we've entered another room, our footsteps echoing against the stone walls.
I know that the Night King's magic kept you two apart for 7 years,
the thief continues.
I know you made each other such ardent promises. The Night Kingdom really does know its way around romance. Until darkness dies. Truly, that's a sweet sentiment.
You know, there's only one problem with that phrase.
He stops and turns to face me.
Me.
Chapter 43. My brows furrow. What are you talking about? I glance around us as I ask. I've been here before, I realize. There's those bone-like columns, the ceiling that gives way to the dark night beyond. There's that unsettling pool which hums with magic, and then there's the thief's throne. This last one glints and flickers in the candlelight, its peaked spires looking especially sharp and deadly. The Death King's throne room. Nothing good ever happens in these rooms.
I'm talking about who I am,
the thief responds. He begins to circle me and my skin burns brighter than ever.
You saw all those fallen soldiers at my doorway. We both know I was not born in this kingdom, that I invaded this place, that I have lived for centuries, that Galagar used me to save his own life.
He finishes circling me, coming back to my front.
So who am I? He says, the question everyone wants to know.
The place is ominously still, and the only sound comes from the pool that stretches out on the other side of the room.
Not a conqueror,
he shakes his head.
Not a king. I came from a time before such things. You see, I am not a man. I'm a god.
A god?
Don't look so shocked, Enchantress,
the thief says.
A woman talks to the darkness. Is she really so surprised when the darkness talks back?
I don't have time to feel disbelief or to question the thief's claim. His body begins expanding before my eyes, his form darkening until he is nothing more than the shape of a man. Pinpricks of light, stars, they seem to me, glitter from deep within that darkness. I can barely make out his features amongst it all. I take a step back as that still air begins to move and churn. Around us, candles flicker, and the hum from the pool seems to grow louder.
All this time you've wanted to know who I am. Enchantress, I'm Eurybios.
He breathes the name with a shiver of magic. It skitters across my skin.
I am what came before.
I feel that part of his magic then, not the wickedness of it, but the wildness. I stare up at him as he gets larger and larger. The room begins to darken, his form sucking away the light. Amongst all that darkness, I sense his smile, and it chills me to the core.
Once death and night were the very same thing. Once there was nothing else.
The room is giving way to shadow, and the thief is losing his form.
Back then, when the world was young, before everything came into existence, I reigned supreme.
It comes to me then, where I heard the name Eurybios. Janice had mentioned it in reference to some artwork. He'd been the primordial god of darkness. Fucking Methuselah. The thief isn't just a god. He's one of the big ones.
I will reign again, he continues. Kingdom by kingdom, I will vanquish this world until nothing is left. No life, no afterlife. I will tear down the sun and consume the land.
My very bones quake at the thought. What he's speaking of is annihilation.
But don't fear, mortal. I will stretch the end out. For once this world is gone, there will be nothing to entertain me again.
We must end him. This is no longer about revenge. It's about preservation.
That first evening of solstice, Eurybios says. Do you remember what Mara said?
As he speaks, he continues to grow, his form expanding until his head touches the ceiling, his body becoming one with the darkness.
Deep from the womb of the night we were born, and deep into the night do our spirits return when the body has died and the flesh has cooled.
With those words, the room goes dark. Eurybios and I and everything else in this underworld are swallowed up by the void he's created.
I am the beginning and the end, he continues. I am death and darkness, but I am infinitely more. I am what came before, and I am unending.
I feel as though I'm losing myself. The shadows are swallowing everything up. My body, my mind, my bond. Not losing that. The impasse is over. My patience is spent. I reach for the blade stashed in my thigh holster and another strapped to my calf, the ones the thief was too cocky to remove. I stride toward that terrible darkness, weapons raised, my wings unfurling behind me. I can't see Eurybios, but I sense him, his body the epicenter of his magic. My wings beat, and with a leap I rise into the air. Blinded by the darkness, I use my other senses to close in on Eurybios. Smell, sound, and my ability to sense magic. I draw close to him, my blades poised. In the instant before I strike, I feel my connection to Dez stir, then awaken. Dez! It almost makes me pause. I want to believe that Dez is responsible for the sensation, but it's Eurybios who's the puppet master. Eurybios who holds our bond hostage. Eurybios who's now taunting me with everything I have to lose. And with this one act, I might lose it all.
Don't be frightened of yourself, Cherub. You are exactly as you should be.
With a single powerful stroke, I sink the blades into that terrible darkness. They hit something. I can feel the resistance. It's not flesh, but it's not just air, either. I withdraw my weapons, sink them into strange flesh again. My body glows the entire time, and I smile viciously, my siren filling me up. My connection to Dez still burns brightly, and I should be frightened by that. This is exactly what the thief wants, to make me understand what I have so that later I will feel the ache of its loss. But the sensation gives me perverse strength. We will defeat him. Amongst the darkness, Eurybios laughs. A moment later, I feel him grab my daggers by their blades.
You still think you can kill me?
He asks, tilting his head.
I am a deity.
He jerks the weapons from my grip and tosses them aside. Heedless, I slash at him with my claws, my siren consuming me. Eurybios doesn't have flesh like I do. I'm not even sure what I'm tearing into, only that even in that darkness, he still has substance. The entire time my bond pulses, I feel Dez on the other end of my bond.
Enough,
Eurybios says. The magic around me shifts and I shift with it, fluidly evading the dark power. I swoop in again and collide with magic and flesh. Immediately, I sink my claws into the substance, whatever it is. I can't see anything except for the galaxies twinkling deep within his form, but it's enough. Something like blood slips between my fingers as I tear into the thief's odd form. Behind me, I sense his magic closing in on me again. At once, I release my hold, dropping to the ground just as his power moves overhead, stirring my hair. I hear a crack as the thief's magic strikes magic.
Gods could not destroy me.
His voice thunders in the darkness.
It's foolish to think you can.
I leap back up into the air, claws bared. I attack darkness once more. Let's see if this thing has a heart. I can't see his body, but there's something left of him in the darkness. My fingers tear into his strange flesh, digging for that organ of his. He hisses at the sensation. We will find his heart. We will find it and rip it out. I feel bone and blood. Eurybios' magic slams into me. Or maybe it's his hand. Impossible to tell when the world is so dark and he's morphed into something that's half human, half shadow.
Enough!
He throws me onto the ground, my bones cracking at the impact. I moan. Things are broken. Wing bones, ribs. Didn't kill him. Didn't even come close. I can feel Eurybios' form, his immense dark form looming.